Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. Today is the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. One thing I'll say to the listening audience tonight, tonight is a good night that God has, will, shall do what he said. He is the God that we can trust in. He is a God that we can believe in. He is a God that say, I am God, and besides me, there is none other. I was the first, and I'm the last. So all these smaller G-O-Ds don't understand what our big God is saying. So I say to them, you're in trouble. Your own life.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessing you.
Doing good. Doing good.
Praise the living God. So good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear you as well. And
yes, sir.
And just thankful that it's Tuesday and the week is starting to move right along.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I will say without further ado, I will go ahead and jump into tonight's lesson.
Amen.
We have this evening, so I'll go ahead and hop right on in.
Amen.
First, I want to just say thank God for you and every all those who made this evening possible. And I want to say grace and peace to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, to those who are listening this evening. I pray that God opens our eyes to see and our ears to hear what he has for us this evening. And I just pray for that again, for that peace to be upon us as we receive what God has. We're going to open with Psalm chapter 99, verses 1 through 9. Psalm chapter 99, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all people. Let them praise you, great and awesome man. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a cloud of dust. They kept his testimony and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God, you were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. Amen. You know, there are times in our lives where we have seen or experienced something that we could describe as one of a kind. One of a kind. And, you know, there could be a multitude of things that people experience, whether it's in a family scenario, maybe there was something they saw in nature, maybe it was a decision that came out that was they thought was going to go the other way, but it worked, God worked it out the way that they wanted it to. You know, and we look at in Word, you know, where a lot of our saints, our men and women of God that are written about in the Word, they experience God in ways because he is one of a kind. One of the examples I always use for myself, one of the one-of-a-kind experiences that I've had was the day of salvation. It was a one-of-a-kind experience that I will always remember, that there's been no other experience ever like it. And so that's a one-of-a-kind experience for me. When I look at the Bible, I look at the Word, and I look at the folks that are in God's Word, where they encounter God in different places in their life, to be experiencing God is to be experiencing having a one-of-a-kind experience. You think about Moses and the burning bush. How often do you walk by a bush that appears to be burning up but yet does not burn up? You know, one-of-a-kind experience. And we know the type of life and the type of ways that Moses experienced God through his life. You think about also the part of the Red Sea, you know, a one-of-a-kind experience, the Israelites experience, again, always with God. The Battle of Jericho, that's talked about in Joshua chapter 5 and 6. Gideon, and his battle, that God called him to go out and have victory, God gave him victory over the Midianites. But this one with only 300 men. You know, I mean, what a wonderful experience for God to come and say, you know what, you've got too many people going in the back. So that you on both in yourself and your own life, I'm going to sift some of these people out so you can go with less, so that it can be known not only through you, but all those in the earth, that it was by the hand of God that you delivered. That's a one-of-a-kind experience. You know, David and Goliath is another example, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Another example where everybody was afraid of Goliath, but a shepherd boy went out with his armor. His you know, he had his stones and his sling, and that's what he knew. And he came and took down that giant that was in the Israelites, in the Israel's eyes, in the name of the Lord. Again, a one-of-a-kind experience. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Fire falling down from heaven and giving victory over 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. 1 Kings chapter 18. Just a one-of-a-kind experience. Jesus' entire life, from his birth to his life and his teachings to his death and his resurrection. Never has it happened before and never will it happen again. Because he has done it. Wonderful kind of experience. The day of Pentecost, you know, when the disciples tarried for a while, he told them to go away from him and wait for power to come from on high before they went out to do what he asked them to do. Wonderful kind of experience. And we can go on and on and on. And the consistent factor and all of these wonderful kind of experience is why the scenarios are different, while they were experiencing different things, different circumstances, the constant was God. Their encounter with God, and through their relationship and experience with God, they had experienced a one-of-a-kind experience. And why is through a relationship with God, our experience with him is one-of-a-kind, is because he is one-of-a-kind, and he has no equal. He has no equal. He has no end. He has no beginning. He is one-of-a-kind. So, because God, you know, he is a holy God, he's a God that is perfect, that is without sin, you know, truth is born out of him, grace is born out of him, love is born out of him, because he is a holy God, God calls us to be like him. When we accept his son, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he calls us to a life of holiness. He calls us to be like him, okay? You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, But as he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So today we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to explore the holiness of God through Psalm chapter 99, verses 1 through 9. We're going to use that as our template going forward. And what are some of the things we can take from these things as we should be pursuing holiness in our lives? And because, you know, we live in a society today that embraces mediocrity. We live in a society that embraces what they call tolerance. What, you know, anytime you start talking about living a holy life and trying to do things the right way, then they say that maybe you're judging you this and that, whatnot. But it really doesn't matter what they say. It only matters what the Word says, and the Word says God calls us to be holy as he is holy. You see what I'm saying? Because we carry his image. And so we should strive to be as he is. And he empowers us to do so through the blood sacrifice of his son, who was raised in all glory. So we're going to talk a little bit about God's holiness through these scriptures. So, again, Psalm 99, chapter 99, verses 1 through 3. We're going to take them in sections. 1 through 3. And again, it says, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all places. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. So we know that the cherubim are defined as they're like the angelic creatures who serve God. There are two golden images of a cherub atop the ark in the most holy place in the temple. So what does the word holy actually mean? You know, God calls us to be holy. What does it actually mean? You know, the term holy refers to someone or something set apart from life's common aspects. Let's say that one more time. The term refers to someone or something set apart from life's common aspects. See, God is set above creation, and he is perfect in every way. He is set apart. And he calls us to be set apart as well as being salt and light in the earth. You know, a lot of times there's such a pull to try to mix in and compromise and all these different things and blend in, but God doesn't call us to do that. You know, he tells us to stand out as light. He tells us to be salt in a bland world without Christ. And so, but that takes obedience, that takes the love in him, that takes all these different things and we do relationship with him as we pursue holiness in our life. So why does God call us to be holy? Why does he call us to be holy? Well, I mentioned one earlier. Number one, because we carry his image. That's why. We carry his image. We know that what the enemy, the devil, tries to do is he tries to change us, tries to tell us, because he wants us to carry his image. You know, but God calls us to be holy because we carry his image. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created us in his image to be like him. You know, God created all the animals and birds and stuff like that, but he didn't create them in his image. But he created man in his image. And so if we're created in his image, then we should pursue being like him. You know, a lot of times we have a lot of people that would say that I'm a Christian, but you still live by name only. But see, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. It means to be like him, to pursue being like him. And we talked about that last week when you started talking about, how is it you calling me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? You know, so, you know, when we are pursuing that relationship with God, we're striving to be like him, not be complacent and stay where we are. And when we get saved and all we do is put on the helmet of salvation and we're done. And we wonder why we're not having kingdom results in our life, because we're not putting the full armor on. You know, we're not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We're not putting any of the armor on that would help us defend ourselves and be successful in the spiritual battlefield that we're on in this life. And so he calls, one of the reasons he calls to be holy is because he created us in his image, in his image. The second reason why he calls us to be holy is because he sent his son who took our sins so we will be able to live a life of righteousness through him. God doesn't just call us to be holy as he is, but he empowered us to be able to achieve this through the blood sacrifice of his son. Amen. And he didn't just say, do it. The Lord said, I'm going to empower you to do it. I'm going to empower you to do it. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So he took it all so that we would have the power through his blood. You see, and people don't, sometimes people don't understand is that when we stand before God, you know, because we all gonna stand before the judgment seat. You know, when we accept salvation, what we're really saying is, Lord, I'm not standing before you with my righteousness, but I'm standing before you with the righteousness of Christ. And look, we'll be clothed with the righteousness of Christ that paid the price for. You know, it's a frightening thing to reject Jesus and say, I'm going to, you know, stand before God with my own righteousness. Because the Bible tells us that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. It stinks. Can't really smell. And so that's why he sent his son, so that when we stand before him, we're standing clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And when we live in this life, which is temporary, that we are pursuing his righteousness. You know, again, verse 24 says, who bore himself, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And so one of the reasons God calls us holy, that he calls us to be holy, is because he sent his son through his blood, enables us to be as God is, to pursue righteousness. So, in other words, we're going to fall along the way. We're going to make mistakes along the way trying to live a life of God. Why is that? Because we're still living in the flesh. Okay, we still got the flesh to deal with. We still got the old man to kind of be trying to come back and warn. In other words, that war within our midst. We still got that. But Christ, through Jesus Christ's blood, we are being empowered to be able to overcome the things that we have died to in sin. So those are two things that we need to just remember, that these are two reasons why God calls us to be holy. Going back to the opening scripture, Psalm chapter 99, and we're going to focus on verses 4 through 5. I'm going to read them again. Verse 4 says, the king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. So verse 5 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Amen. So what does this tell us about God? What does it tell us about how we can apply these things to our life? Well, when I think of this scripture, I think about three areas about God, three things that we need to know about him and about how it applies to our situation in life. It speaks to one of three things. It speaks to the fairness of God, it speaks to the justice of God, and it speaks to the righteousness of God. So we're going to take on the fairness of God first. You know, though life isn't always fair, God is. He is Amen. The source of fairness, for he established it. You know, we're going to counter things in our life that it just don't seem right. You know, I mean, all you got to do is sometimes if there's 30 people on, you be like, man, that ain't right. That just don't seem right. And sometimes we even think, man, Lord, where you at? Where you at? How can this thing be going on? But we have to remember that God is, he is the source of fairness. Okay? And just because we experience things that are not fair doesn't mean he isn't fair, because he established it. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, because a lot of times when you working in the kingdom, you pursue righteousness and you just try to serve God and be in a relationship with him, you know, guess what? Sometimes things don't happen. You know, things can go wrong, and it can seem like at times that maybe what we're doing is in vain. We're not reaping those fruits. But again, we serve a God that is fairness, and he established fairness. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Somebody needs to be encouraged today. Let me say that one more time. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do ministry. Amen. Amen. So Amen. God is fair. God is fair, and fairness flows through him, even if we don't always understand it. Second one, justice. Justice. The justice of God is different from the justice of man. I think If you've been in God long enough and you're looking at how the fallen state of man and how justice is carried out or lack thereof, and you look at the justice of God, when God brings justice, it's different. You know, the justice occurs, real justice of God occurs when he brings divine order to life.
Amen.
Divine order to life. That's when God's justice, and God's justice deals out blessings and punishment. So when God has a purpose for everything, he does. We may not understand it all the time, you know, what maybe taking so long or what's going on, but when his divine order is coming into place at the time, he's already said it is going to be, justice is going to come down. And so sometimes the issue isn't so much knowing that God, there will be justice and God will make everything right. Sometimes the struggle in, what are we doing while we wait? What are we doing while we wait for God to move in a situation? And so that's something that we need to make sure we keep on our hearts and minds, that we'll continue to pray, that we'll continue doing the things he asks us to do while we wait. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice.
Yes.
Blessed are all those who wait for him. Blessed that we wait on his justice. So we can keep praying and worshiping God and praising God through all these things going on, because we know a God who is eternal. We know a God that does not exist in time, and he sees everything, and he will bring everything in order according to his divine order, and he will do so for justice. For justice is his name. And so we just need to remember that, have that confidence as we fellowship with the Lord. And lastly, righteousness. God always does what is best, and he always does what is right. Righteousness has to do with God's moral spirit. So God is there. He can't do what's wrong. He can't. And he can't lie. He is pure, and he is holy God. And so he's always going to do what's right. And so when we look at Psalm chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, and it's talking about the king's strength, who also loves justice and righteousness in Jacob, you know, we start to think about the fairness of God, the justice of God, and the righteousness of God. And that's something that we can be encouraged with, that God will defend his saints. He will bring righteousness in the right way to pass. And lastly, last section of Psalm chapter 99 is verses 6 through 9. 6 says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a cloud of pillar. He kept his testimonies and ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Holy.
Now, we serve a holy God, right? We serve a holy God. So how can we tremble in God's holiness, yet still have an intimate relationship with him? How is that possible? To tremble at his holiness, yet have an intimate relationship with him. You see, we have a lot of folks, a lot of people struggling with their relationship with God. I encounter people from time to time where, you know, again, I talked about earlier, but, you know, they got the helmet of salvation on, but they, you know, don't do anything else. Hey, God, they just satisfied, oh, I get saved, and oh, I get in, I put my ticket. And it's not really a relationship with God. It's not really a relationship with God. You know, and I tell people all the time, I said, if we were just supposed to just, you know, get saved and just chill out, let's just discard the rest of the New Testament. You know, if we were just supposed to relax and not do nothing, then why would the New Testament writer, what would Apostle Paul say? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Why would he also say that, do you not know that the righteous will barely get in? Why would he say that? Why would God's word say that? Because when we get saved, there's a working out of our salvation. There's a working out we do. There's things we go through. Because, again, when we get saved and we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's got work to do to grow us more and more each day to be able to exemplify his image everywhere we go so we can be more and more like him each day. He has prepared us not only for a life here, but he's prepared us to meet him in the eternal life that he has prepared for us. And so how can we tremble at God's holiness yet still have an intimate relationship with God? Well, that comes primarily by living a daily life of worship to him. We constantly acknowledging who he is, and it will give us a healthy reverence and fear of God. Let's say that one more time. By living a daily life of worship of him, we constantly acknowledge who he is, and it will give us a healthy reverence and fear of God. You see, a lot of times, and I remember how when I first started out, we think worship is, we come in on Sunday, they start singing, we singing, and that's worship. But see, I submit to you that that's not just worship. We worship God not just one couple hours a day on Sunday, but we worship him every day of our week. We worship him not only with the words from our lips, but we worship him with our daily lifestyle relationship. We worship him with our decisions that we make. We worship him in our obedience. We worship him every day when we sit down in quiet and close the door and open our word and say, God, I love you. Reveal and open my heart to your word. We worship him in standing in situations where we know we're standing on the word, but yet no one is standing with us. Amen. We worship him by giving our life to him. The Bible says that he who finds himself a loser, but he gives his life over for Christ's sake, will find it.
Yes,
indeed. He's asking us to give our life over to him. That is worship.
Amen.
Worship. Amen. And so it's our daily life as we grow, we worship him. The best way to put this, sometimes I'm telling my young adult Sunday school class, I said, I think about my relationship with my father. And I remember as a child, I loved him, I respected him, and I can go up to him at any time, even as a child, talk with him, and just share anything with him, and then we just love being with each other in an intimate relationship. But at the same token, I had a healthy reverence and fear of him because I knew he cared about. I knew he had a story. And I knew that if I somehow got out of line, there was going to be consequences. So I had a healthy reverence and fear of him. I wasn't petrified of him. But I had a healthy fear and reverence of him. But at the same time, I was in an intimate relationship with him. And that's not too far from the God we serve. Yes, we have a God that's an intimate relationship, but we need to remember that we serve a God that's high and lifted up. High and lifted up. And I tell people, he's the creator. He's not a part of creation. He is the creator. He is above all things. He's not a created being. He is creation. Amen. And so that's a way, and if we continue to get in our word, continue to ask God to help us live out our word, we continue confessing and being transparent in our life to him when we fall short and get that grace we need, then we'll grow in that fear and reverence. And we'll also grow to know and understand that he's an intimate God and he wants to be in a close relationship with him. So that's just something we need to understand. We serve a holy God. We serve a holy God. He is high and lifted up. But in the same token, he is a personal God. And he wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. We accomplish a lot of things in our lives. We accomplish school, and we have sports, and we have different accolades, different things he's blessed us to achieve. in our life. You know, we get blessed to be certain people in our churches, and you know, and just all these different things that we get that we have added to ourselves as accomplishments. But one thing I love about God is when He enters into our life, become a relationship, He don't want none of that. He don't want our title. He don't want our accomplishments. He don't want all the different things you feel like we've fallen short of. All He wants is us. That is all. And when we give ourselves to Him, we will be able to see Him for who He is, as a holy God. Amen.
Well, God bless you tonight, young preacher. We thank God for you, young Timothy. Pressing in. And the fight that you have before from Psalm 99, I tell you, God uses you to the best. And I thank God for you, for your attitude, because you put it all strictly on looking beyond what SELF, looking unto Him, who's the author and the finish of our faith. And the more we submit to God through Jesus, the more God want to use us. I love you and I thank God for you. Amen.
I love you too.
Amen. Hello, Dr. Newsom.
Hello, Dr. Hunter. How you doing?
I'm blessing you.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good.
Amen.
I'm excited. I am excited. I tell my brother's doing a great job.
He is. You hear that, Jason?
He's doing a great job.
You the apostles are you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And as I always tell my uncle Dr. Hunter that I thank God for you guys because we need y'all's example to look up to. Well, and I thank you for obeying and being an example for us.
Well, glory to God. You keep your hands to the plow, brother. I tell you, something good is going to happen to you. He's using your life mightily right now, and He's going to even use you even in a greater way. Just keep your hands to the plow, and don't you look back, brother.
Amen. Hey,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
One day I'm gonna give it. He gonna give it a teach. We'll have a line full. I want people to hear his testimony, how what God did to him.
Amen.
It'll bring chills on you. You say, "Oh my God, this
praise
young man."
Glory
yes,
to God.
That's what God does. He does it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, what you got to talk to us tonight about? Let the people know out there. Oh, let me tell you, the Lord blessed us for the whole last week. We had about 5,000 people listen last week.
Glory to God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God. I tell you, Yahweh is good.
All the time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's some wonderful news.
Well, you know what? Nah. Do you teach Greek or preach Greek? Do you preach Hebrew or teach Hebrew?
What you saying now, Dr. Hunt?
I said, do you teach Hebrew?
Yes, I do. I teach it. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I want you to keep your ears to the plow because might be something better for you later on. So I'm still praying about it.
We're glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, I can teach it, and I teach the introduction to Hebrew.
Amen. Well,
I taught it once at my church, and a few people, my wife and other folks, said my wife said I need to teach it more often. You know what? Because there's others who want to learn the language, and it is the sacred language of Yahweh.
Hold on, please. Well, you're good. We're going to talk about that when you get through with the program tonight. Amen.
All right, amen. Well, tonight I'll be talking about the power of the hedge. The power of the hedge. I'll be reading from Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. There was a man in the land of Uz. That's what it said in the King James Version. The Hebrew, in the Hebrew, that word Uz, oops.
And I tell you when I go to you, okay?
So there was a man in the land of oops. That's O-O-T-S is the phonetic spelling. The Hebrew word for Uz is oops. So in actuality, the name of the place where Job was, where he lived at, the place was named in the Hebrew, oots.
Oots.
That's the phonetic spelling is O-O-T-S, oots. Instead of hoots, it's oots, ooh, 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 oots. So there was a man in the land of oots whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. He was a perfect and he was an upright man.
Yes.
That word perfect in the Hebrew is tam. Tam. And it means integrity. It means upright in one's conduct. So he had good conduct. Not saying that he was perfect, but he had good conduct. He walked in integrity. And that's what that word in Hebrew, perfect, means. And the Hebrew word is tam. Tom. So that man was Tom. He was perfect. He was upright in his conduct. He was perfect and upright. He walked with integrity. He had good conduct and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat, to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Yahweh is bragging on his servant Job. Look at my servant, Apostle Hunter. Look at my servant. He's bragging on his servant. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. He's bragging on Job, one that feareth God and eschewed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge? We're talking about the power of the hedge. The hedge. There was a hedge built up around Job. The Hebrew word for hedge is suk. Suk.
Suk.
Suk. Put that suk on the end of it. Suk. Suk.
Suk.
There was a suk built up around Job. The Hebrew word, the hedge for hedge is suk. And it means to entwine. It means to shut in. In other words, Job was shut in. Yahweh had Job shut in. It also means protection. Protection. Yahweh had protection around Job. It also means restraint. Restraint. I tell you, Yahweh was keeping anything from entering in to hurt Job. It means offense. It means offense. And we know a fence is to protect things from coming in that's bad and that we don't want in. And it fence, it protects. It protects us. The fence protects us. It's God's protection. So the hedge, sukkah, is God's protection. God's protection was around Job. Job was surrounded by Yahweh's protection. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and eschew evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge, a sukkah, about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land." The message is the power of the hedge, the power of the sukkah. The sukkah is God's protection, the power of the fence. The fence, the restraint, the protection that was around Job. He was shut in. He was shut in. It means to entwine. He was shut in. God was protecting everything about Job. So we're going to find out what the hedge is, what the sukkah, that's the Hebrew word for hedge, what the sukkah is. We're going to find out what the hedge is, and how to build it up, how to build it up. And we're also going to find out what it protects. What does the hedge, what does the sukkah protect? What does that hedge, that sukkah that was around Job, what does it protect? We're going to look at what it is, how to build it up, because it's very important. I mean, Job became very rich, Dr. Hunter. Job became very rich because God's hedge was built up around him. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And you see, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Job became rich because the hedge, the sukkah, was built up around him. We'll become rich if the sukkah, the hedge, is built up around us. So it's very important that we find out, what is this hedge? And how can we build it up around us? How can we build it up? And what does it protect? All right, let's take a look at what it protects. First of all, well, we saw what it is. The hedge is God's protection. That's what it is. The hedge means to be shut in. Yahweh had Job shut in with his protection, God's protection. God had an invisible fence, or good God Almighty. God had an invisible fence around Job. Glory to God. I tell you, I know the sukkah is built up around me. I would have been gone long time ago if it wouldn't have been for the hedge of God around me. I'm talking about the power of the hedge. The hedge, the sukkah, is God's protection. It's God's protection. The phonetic spelling of sukkah is S-O-O-K. S-O-O-K. That's the phonetic spelling for that word sukkah. That's the phonetic spelling.
Sukkah.
And it means God's protection. It means restraint. It means fence. It means being shut in by God, to be shut in by God. So Job was shut in by God, and that's what the hedge is. God's protection was around Job. Now we're going to take a look at what does it protect. What does the hedge protect? Let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 10, and let's look at what the hedge, the sukkah of God, protects. Look at verse 10 of Job chapter 1. Has not thou made a hedge, a sukkah, about Job and about his house? About his house and about all that he hath on every side? Look at that. So we see right here that the hedge protects his what? House. Has not thou made a hedge about him? It protects him. Okay, so all these words are going to begin with P. So number one, the hedge protects our person. That's us. Our person. That's us. The hedge protects Job.
Mm-hmm.
The hedge protects him, his body protects him. So the hedge, number one, protects us. It protects our person. Our person. Number two. In verse 10, it says, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" That's his person. And about his house. About his house. That's his family. That's his family, our people. Our people. So the hedge not only protects our person, but the hedge also protects our what? Our people. It protects our family. It protects everyone that's protected by the hedge. It protects our family, our people. Let's read on. And about all that he has on every side. So the hedge protects our person. The hedge protects our family, our purse, our people. The hedge protects our possessions. Our possessions. Those are the things that we have. The things, our houses, our cars, our jewelry, our clothes, our shoes, our things. So the hedge of God, the sukkah, protects our person, us. It protects our family. That's our people, our people. It protects our possessions, our things. I tell you, the hedge can make our things last, Dr. Hunter. It can make our things last. Than the things of the average person's things last. It can make our things last a long time. I'm talking about the hedge. Also, let's keep on going. Hast thou not made a hedge about him, our person, and about his house, our people, our family, and about all that he hath on every side? Those are the things. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. What is that? Our profession. Yahweh will protect your profession. That's your job. Your job. He'll cause you to be on your job a long time and give you some security. He'll protect your job. So Job, his person was protected, his family was protected, his things were protected, and his job was protected. And God blessed the work of his hands, and his substance in the land increased. So when God puts his hedge around us, he'll make our things not only last, but he'll increase them. Things will begin to build up. We'll begin to be able to accumulate things. We can accumulate things when the hedge, when the sukkah of God is around us. We're talking about the power of the hedge. We found out that the hedge is God's protection. We found out just a few minutes ago what it protects. We found out that the hedge of God protects our person, that's us, our people, that's our family, our possessions, that's our things, our profession, that's our jobs. So the hedge of protection can cause you to become rich. He was the richest man in the East.
My God.
Job was the richest man in the East. Why was he the richest man in the East? Because the hedge, the sukkah of God was around him. Good God Almighty. So this is something that we want. We want the hedge of God built up around us. Because it will make us what? Rich. It will protect our family. It will protect our things. It will protect our jobs. It will protect us. So we want this hedge built up around us. So we took a look at what the hedge is. The hedge is what? The protection of God. We also took a look at what does it protect. It protects our people. It protects us. It protects our things. And it protects our jobs, our professions.
Now we
need to know what we can do to build this hedge up, good God Almighty, because we don't want the hedge to come down, Because remember, when God let the heads down, Satan was able to get what? In. He was able to get in and touch Job's body. But as long as the heads was built up, Dr. Hunter, Satan couldn't get to Job.
He couldn't get to him.
But God let it down a little bit. Satan came in and touched Job's body, but God, Yahweh said, you can touch his body, but you can't what? You can't kill him. You can't kill him. Jesus. Boy, when that head came down just a little bit, when that head came down, Satan went in and put balls and sores on the top of Job. Man, I tell you, that brother had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was in such agony, the Bible says that he sat in ashes and sackcloth. And he began to scrape his body with broken pieces of pottery. You see, he was miserable. He was feeling bad, I'm telling you. And I'll tell you, he lost. His children were killed. His animals were killed. His servants were killed. I tell you, that's because the hedge was down. See, when the hedge is down, Satan can get in and begin to steal and begin to kill and to destroy. But as long as that hedge, the sook, is built up, Satan can't get to us. Good God Almighty. So we need to take a look at, what did Job do? What do we have to do to build up the hedge? Number one, let's look at Job chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. That's O-O-T-S. That's the original Hebrew word for us. It's Uz. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and what? Upright. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. So one way we can build up the hedge is to walk in integrity. We got to walk in integrity. The hedge, the sook, wasn't built up around Job for nothing. No, Job was a man of integrity. He was a man that walked upright. He was a man that Tom is the Hebrew word. He was perfect. Tom is the word for perfect in Hebrew. Tom, say that with me. Tom, like Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom. So the word in Hebrew for perfect is Tom. And that word means integrity. It means upright in one's conduct. So if you say in Hebrew to someone, you're Tom, what are you saying to them? You're saying to them that their conduct is upright. They're perfect. They are a person of integrity. And see, that's why the hedge was built up around Job. Job was Tom. Job walked in Tom. He walked in integrity. He was perfect. Perfect. Tom. Perfect. The word perfect in Hebrew is Tom. And that's what Job was. He was Tom. He was perfect. He walked upright. He conducted himself uprightly. Let's look at Psalm 84:11. That's how we build up the hedge. We got to walk with integrity. Let's look at Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11. I tell you, the hedge will be built up. You'll become richer and richer when you walk uprightly. Just walk uprightly like Job did. Look at Psalm 84:11. For the Lord is God. Yahweh is God.
It's good.
For the Yahweh is a sun and what? Shield.
That's that hedge.
He is a sun and the what? A shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Upright. Good God.
Walking with integrity.
Preach it in, brother. Preach it in.
Glory to God. Do we build up the hedge? We build up the hedge, number one, by walking in integrity. walking in integrity. Number two, let's look at what Job did. Number two, let's go back to Job chapter 1 and verse 1. We're taking a look at how to build up the sukk. What is the sukk? The sukk is the head.
How
to build up the head. Let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 1 again. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Tom means perfect, and upright, and one that what? Feared God. He feared God. That fear right there don't mean to be afraid of God. It means to reverence God. It means to respect God, reverence him. Give Yahweh his due respect. Respect him. He deserves to be respected. Job respected God. He reverenced God. And so God built up the hedge. He built up the sukk. He built up the hedge around Job, and Job became very rich. He became the richest man in the East. Why?
Yeah.
Because he feared God. He reverenced God. He gave God his due respect. Now let's look at Psalm 34. And let's look at verse 7. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord, there's that hedge again, good God Almighty. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about them. That's that hedge. That's that sukk. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about them that what? Fear him. Reverence him. You see, the angel of the Lord was encamped around about Job. That's that sukk. That's that hedge. Because why? He feared Yahweh. He reverenced the mighty one of Israel. He reverenced him. Good God Almighty. He reverenced the God of Israel. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about them that fear him and delivereth them. You see, you can build up that hedge when you reverence God, when you reverence Yahweh. And number three, let's look at go back to Job chapter 1, verse 1, and let's see what else Job did to build up the hedge that was around him. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and what? Eschewed evil. He eschewed evil. What in the world does that word eschewed evil mean? It means that he turned. He turned from evil. He departed. He departed from evil.
Yes.
He turned from evil. He departed from evil. You see, we can build up the hedge of Yahweh around us when we turn from evil, when we depart from evil. That's all right. We get off into something that's not right every now and then, but we still can what? Depart from it.
Depart from it.
We can turn from it. Ain't none of us perfect. We all mess up, but we can what? We can turn from it.
Yeah.
We can depart from it. And once we turn from it and depart from it, what does Yahweh do? He builds that hedge back up. He builds it back up so we can be protected and start becoming more rich again. Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
So we need to turn away from evil. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. I know we all know this one by heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We got to turn from evil. Look what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn. There it is. Turn. Eschewed evil. Turn from their wicked ways.
Please.
Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive them their sin and will heal their land. That means he'll prosper you. God, this is a prosperity scripture right there. Yahweh says, I'll prosper you. I'll prosper you if you humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and what? Turn from your evil ways. I'll hear your cry from heaven. I'll forgive you of your sins, and I'll what? I'll prosper you. That's what Yahweh is saying. I'll prosper you. That's a prosperity scripture right there. That's why all those who hate on prosperity teaching, Yahweh is a prosperity God. I'm talking about how to build up the hedge. Number one, walk in integrity. Number two, fear God, reverence him. And number three, turn from evil. Depart from it. And depart from it, turn from evil. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We're talking about the power of the hedge. Good God Almighty. Keep that hedge filled up. You'll become very rich. God is no respecter of person. What he did for Job, he'll do for you if you do what Job did. Psalm chapter 34, and look at verse 14. There it is right there. Depart from what?
Evil.
And do good. Seek peace. And pursue it. You see, we've got to depart. We've got to depart. We've got to turn from evil. And Yahweh will prosper us. He'll make you rich. He'll prosper you. We're looking at how to build up the hedge. What did Job do to build up the hedge? If we do what Job did, we'll get what Job got. Job was the richest man in the East. Yahweh is no respecter of persons. He'll make us rich if we build up the hedge. How can we get the hedge built up? Walk in integrity, fear God, turn from evil, depart from evil, and my fourth and final point, pay your tithes and give offerings.
Amen.
Pay your tithes and give offerings. Go back to Job chapter 1, and let's look at verse 5. We're looking at what Job did for God to build that hedge up around him.
Uh-huh.
The hedge was built up for a reason. It wasn't for nothing. Job walked in integrity. Job feared God. Job turned away from evil. He departed from evil. And Job, look what he did. Look at verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. There's your offerings right there. What did he do? He offered burnt offerings.
Right.
You see, Job gave offerings to God. He gave offerings to Yahweh. He gave offerings to the only true living God, the mighty one of Yisrael. He gave offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job continually gave offerings. Now, and the hedge, the sukh, was built up, and Job became very rich. Now, in our day and time, what are we to do? We're to give pay our tithe and give offerings.
Yes.
We're to pay our tithe and give offerings in our time, and Yahweh will build that hedge up, and we'll become rich just like Job did, because Yahweh is no respecter of person. Job gave offerings to Yahweh. In our time, what are we supposed to do? Pay our tithe, and give offering. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. For I am the Lord, good God Almighty. I am Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I'm the mighty one of Israel. For I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, when have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Yes.
You are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed even this whole nation. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's that hedge. Good God Almighty, Dr. Hunt. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? That's Satan.
Yes. That's Satan.
And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He won't be able to get in. He won't be able to get in and destroy your things, destroy you and destroy your family and destroy your profession. He won't be able to get in because he'll rebuke the devourer when you pay your tithes and give off. That's that hedge. Paying your tithes and giving offerings will keep that hedge, that sukh, built up around you. And he says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. Yahweh will protect you. The hedge, the sukh, will be built up if you pay your tithes and give offerings. How do you build up the head? Walk in integrity. Fear God. Turn away from evil. And pay your tithes and give offerings. The power of the head.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen. Well, you know what? One night has been a blessed night. But I want you to hang around the phone because there was a young lady that we had. She was on a program. And she went to my website and read it. And somehow or another, we've been trying to get in contact with her, and I finally got it. Gail, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, praise the living God. Praise the living God. You got a word you want to say to the people around the world?
Well, I was sitting here at my desk and looking through some of the things I have written, and I have another rhyme that I'd like to share, if that's okay.
No, just go ahead. Go ahead.
It's called A Ride with God. Just come on in, look around, and find a comfortable seat. God is taking us on a ride that's going to be hard to beat. With God as the pilot, we are going to soar so high. Your feet will be on the ground, but it will feel like the sky. We will learn about God through the study of his book. So much knowledge there, we need a closer look. God is preparing a path that each of us will take, but your personal walk with God, you alone must make. Some of you may have started this trip with a heart full of pain. Something has happened, you think you won't have anything to gain. Or maybe you have a need that only you knew. You will be comforted by God as only you can do. Possibly for the knowledge of God, you have a deep yearning. Then this ride's for you because we're going to do some learning. Through the study of his word, God will meet the needs of everyone. He will love us and watch over us. By his promise, this is done. And this trip will be so good, we will not want God to end it. But in the meantime, I am your smiling flight attendant.
Praise God. How about that, Dr. Newsom?
Oh. Praise God.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It is.
Glory
God
to God.
Amen. She has a snook about her. As
amen.
She has a hedge. And Gail, one thing I will say to you, because you can't see me right now and I can't see you. We're doing this by the word of faith. But see, God has made it so possible. So we who are on the radio, we can do what they call Skype. We can see each other and talk to each other. And if we go and do what we're doing, but I want you to know, I just want you to get a, see, you got about 2,500 people, 2,500 listening to you tonight around the world.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
Amen. Are you there, Gail?
Yes, sir. I have been praying for years for a avenue for these rhymes to go out, because I really felt like that God was using or wanting to use them to minister to people. I just didn't know how to get them out, and it just seems to be the way.
Well, see, God, I mean, look how long it took me to get this radio station, Dr. Newsom, you know, but God.
But God
kept an edge around me.
He sure did.
And here I am right there. Here I am right there. I'm in
good
Houston.
Good God of mine.
See, our God is an awesome God. He's
he
a
sure
loving
is.
God. You got some more
sure
prayer? Amen. Hallelujah.
You keep up. Hey, I tell you, and you're going strong, Dr. Hunt. Your radio station is going strong.
Amen. See, it's people like Gail, come on. I heard it. I said, wait a minute. See, I'm a listener. I will listen to the heartbeat. See, because the heart is the deer, and they say the heart of the heart, the heart of the deer, pum, de, pum. And I listen to what God is saying. And I said, who is this woman, Gail? I even asked her, she was on another program. I'm going fishing.
Gail, what's her name, Dr. Sister Gail? Sister Gail, keep it up. That's an anointed poem. You keep it up. I tell you, very encouraging.
Well, thank you. It seems that God works through whenever I'm doing a study, whatever subject or book I'm studying ends up coming out written in a rhyme, or things I happen to be going through in my life. It somehow ends up on paper, too.
Well, accountability is what he's doing.
Amen.
He gave in. And see, Gail, do you have something else you want to share with the people tonight?
Well, let me look through right quick. I got my folder here.
You got to pull out you're pulling out your spiritual bullets.
I've got a whole bunch of them.
She got a big sword. I call it a big sword.
A big sword. Amen.
I have the one that I read last week whenever I was on Carnita's program.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of redid it just a little bit because I felt like that there was a little bit more that needed to be added. It was the one that I read that's called I Am Not Like You. So I will read that again if you'd like to hear it.
Come on, let the world hear.
All right. I am not like you, but these clothes are just my taste. Though I can see in your eyes, you think my life is a waste. I am not like you. I like bold colors in my hair. But can you look into my heart if you really care? Ooh. I am not like you in the color of my skin, but will your loving church still let me in?
Wow.
I am not like you with the rowdy company that I keep. I don't know the Bible, so what I have sown I will reap. I am not like you who has spent every Sunday on a pew, but to know your Jesus, do I have to look and act like you? Tell me, to be a part of your church, what clothes should I buy? If I can't afford those on my income, let me know what I should try. I am not like you, but I need someone who will share. I am lost, lonely, and hurting. I need someone to care. I need to find a church with people who will let me be me and love me like Jesus, because that is what I want to be.
Wow. Encouraging. Good God Almighty. Wow. That means
on our toes a little bit there, doesn't it?
That means, Dr. Hunter, that we can be our own, we can be ourselves, and God will still take us.
Yeah.
He'll still help us.
Yes.
We don't have to be a carbon copy of someone else.
Thank you. He wants the individual to be who they say they are. That's one thing I've come to understand. God doesn't want me to be like nobody but me.
But
be
me. That's it.
But me.
Oh, that was encouraging.
Wow. See,
that was encouraging.
A lot of things. That's a lot of encouragement. See,
I want you to
know we love you. I love you. And see, already you didn't talk at least 10 minutes. You didn't even know it, did you?
Oh, that's so
true. I answered. I talked and answered and then read what I wrote.
Wow. Amen.
Those need to be published in a book somewhere.
But this time I'm down, and they will be published. I'm going to help
her
get it published. Because what she has to say, some people have told me, said, who is that woman, honey? I said, I don't know. She's a woman of God. I said, hey, does the woman put a pen on a piece of paper, cross a T, and dot an I? So you're going to be in trouble.
Well, you know, I have to say, I just love Bible study. I love to dig through the commentaries and see what all they say. And it's just that I just seem to get so full, it just starts coming out through my pen. And for some reason, God has just chosen to put it in a rhyme. And I share it with the ladies in my Bible study, and they just love it. They think it's just awesome.
Well, it is awesome. See, I want you to know one thing, Gail. Apostle and I have come through. We've come through the mud. We done come through the sludge. We done come through the fire.
Yeah.
Not God's fire, but the world's fire.
Yeah.
We've been poured on. We've been duped on, lied on, talked about, shut down. But we kept on moving. They said, how you going to stop them guys? And here you come along, get some water, guys, and come on, keep running. Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow, wow. Well,
very
I want
impressive.
You to, you got something else you want to share?
I think that that's all for tonight. If I read everything tonight, I won't have anything to read later on.
Oh, God.
Well, would you like to offer a prayer for somebody throughout the world? See, you're talking to the entire world, not just in Houston. You're talking around the world, Afghanistan and England and Italy and everybody who tunes into this Block Talk Radio. They can hear what you're saying around the world. Now, I'm going to tell you, some people may not understand what you're saying, but I'm planning on getting it translated in different languages. But for the present time, do you have anybody in California you know?
Not that I know of right offhand.
You know anybody in New York?
Not that I know of.
You know anybody in the 50 states?
Well, yeah, I know some people out there, but...
Okay. I want you to lift their name up in prayer right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Can you lift their names up, whatever that needs are?
Well, let me just pray a prayer that God has kind of put on my heart with what I'm faced with right now, okay?
Okay.
Father God, we just come before you, and Lord, I just bring the verse that you have given to me, Father. Then I just pray for the people listening, Lord, according to 1 Peter 4:10, that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And, Father, you have given us different gifts. Lord, my gift might be to rhyme that reaches people, but, Father, other people have different gifts. And I just ask that those people just have faith for those gifts and have courage to reach out to others and to just be Jesus with hands and feet, Lord, to this world that is hurting.
Yeah.
And, Lord, help them to know their gifts, to be comfortable with that, Lord, and to just reach out for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, I say this.
Amen.
You know, see, simple, concise words, when they're very concise, it touches the heart of believers. Somebody's listening.
Yes.
Somebody's listening. Somebody is, they said, First Peter, what you just said, they burned the scripture right there because we're living in a generation of a lot of people have been used, misused, talked about, beat up, gone to a church in their life. Their hair's kinky, their hair's straight, their eyes are blue, The skin is black. The skin is yellow. But God says, no, come as you are.
That's right. He loves
us. And what you just telling us in your rhyming, that's what God is saying. Because that's what God, what you're saying to us blesses us immensely.
Yes,
and
amen.
Other people, amen. And see,
amen.
I don't know how you want to do it. You want to set up music behind you or what? All you do is have music you want to play behind you. Say, well, this is the one I got. And you can do, I mean, it's up to you. I always say this. The race is yours. But when the guns sound, you got to get busy.
Yeah.
Well, I will have to get back with you and how I want to do that, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, let me share something with you. Let me share something with you. You might, you know how when you see a guys running track, you never see them in a straight line, do you? If they're gonna, they're not in a straight line, but they got them staggered all the way around that arena. But when they come to the final line, it's a straight line. And somebody asked me, I said, why? It's not how fast you run, it's with consistency. It's with consistency.
Yes.
See,
amen.
And I look at that and say, I know, Gail, that God has called you to do what you've done. And if I can be a push behind you, for you, I'm here.
Well, thank
amen.
You. I appreciate the opportunity to let this go out so that it can bless God's people.
And see, there are a lot of people, I say this in faith, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
Amen.
And God
amen.
Has given us, I know you felt it. God has given you much, and it is you got to give much. It's not about me, not anyone else on the radio station, because we're here to pump you up, want to help you to get you moving. Once you feel comfortable, well, it's okay. It's like the eagle says, stir the stirrup. The old preacher used to talk about stirring up the nest.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you take all of the padding from the nest, that eagle, he said, I can't. He started raising his wings and flapping them. But we love you. We want you to know you got to. We want to be on this solo with you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
See,
thank you very much. That's very kind.
No, we love you. I'm telling you, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray right now for Gail, for the desires of her heart, for what it is she needs to do. And, Father, I promise you, when you send in, I will help them to expand out. Whatever I can do to help meet the Father, until such time we come into an agreement, Father, I want to thank you for her. Not only help of everyone who's listening tonight, in America, from the north side to the east side to the west south and to the south side. Father, we need an outflowing of love and kindness and mercy. And Father, I just ask you today to forgive those two young ladies that did what they did. They didn't understand, but it's an act of enemy. And we know the enemy is busy, as it said, but this nuke, the head of God will protect us. And we want to thank you for, Father, it's through Yeshua HaMashiach that I call on you right now. Gail needs you in more way than one. I don't know all the desires of each one on this radio station, but you do, even me. But I call you because I love you.
Yes.
I take it to you, and I pray to you, and I believe. And your word says, you gave your life for me.
Yes.
That in giving your life for me, that I will have a right to sit in heavenly places. Because I'm allowed to sit in heavenly places through you, Jesus Christ, I am able to do what God said. By you taking me to the Father, the blood of Jesus is upon me. I pray this night, whatever you have for her to do, it will be with melody, it will be kindness and with love, and you will show her what she needs to do. Not me, but what she said. This is what the Lord has told me. We'll work with her.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Father. Not only her, but for everyone that has a desire, as if it's taught tonight in the scripture, but if my people, intuitively, distinctly, when my people will come to God, turn from their sin, and we living in a nation of people, Father, all around America. And Father, I just ask you tonight to let the love of Jesus Christ be multiplied, cause a new awakening. We don't want to criticize. We don't want to push aside. We want to reach and say, hey, come on, let's swim together.
Yes.
Show them how to love. Show them how to be obedient. Show them how to give. Show them how to be obedient in tithing and offering. Show them, Father, through us. For your love is boundless. For your hope is boundless. Hallelujah.
Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
For
Hallelujah.
You said in your word, there is only one God.
One
and
God.
And besides me, there is not another.
No
I don't believe what the enemy said, Father. But, Father, I'm at peace with you.
Yeah.
I'm at peace with you. You keep the snook around me. You keep the hedge around me. And I say thank you. All of us on this radio station, some I don't see, some I see, some hear me. But, Lord, I thank you for Gail.
Thank you.
Thank you for Gail.
Thank you for her, Lord.
What she does, may she encourage the women, the men at her church.
Father.
And I'm asking you to let the fullness of the fire of the Holy Ghost continue to be upon her. Let her hands be full of fire. Let her words be full of fire. Let her ears be full of fire. As it was said, he said, waist up fire, down below, fire. Don't let it go. Hallelujah. Fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, I want to say thank you, Father, for Gail, my beloved sister. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Now, I always say this here, you know, we got some more. I got about 3 minutes left on the radio. Do you have anything you want to say, really say, that I couldn't say that you can say?
Who are you talking to, Dr. John?
I'm talking to Gail.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I appreciate you praying for me. That was just right on target for what I'm facing with just the fears of talking and other people hearing my work, you know, but I know that it's something that, you know, it just ministers to people. And I know that even if the women in the small group of Bible study that I lead, if they enjoy it, I know that other people will enjoy it and it will minister to them.
Well, you know what, Gail? I know. Well, the Lord is still moving. There's some more prayer warriors on the line because we want to saturate you with prayer. Anybody else want to pray for her? Anybody on the line want to pray for her? Father,
I heard somebody.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless your holy name. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Father God, that you've shown towards each and every one of us. But, Father, I lift my sister up to you now. I lift Gail up to you, your daughter, Father God, in the name of Jesus. You have put her hand to the plow. And, Father God, I thank you right now, Father God, that she won't turn back. She won't look back, God. But she will move forward in the things that you have called her to do, Father God. You said in your word, Father God, where you be lifted up on the earth, you shall do the drawing. So, Father God, as she lifts you up, Father God, we ask you to do the drawing right now in the name of Jesus, Father. And, Father God, the gifts and the talents that you have placed in her, God, I ask you right now, Father God, it will be effective for your kingdom and for your glory, Father. And we just thank you for doing it. I ask you to continue to download her, Father. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that out of her belly it will flow rivers of living water. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Glory to God.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is it prophetess from Atlanta?
Yes, yes, it is.
How you doing?
God bless you, Apostle. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Good
Amen.
To hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you and yours.
Thank you, and so do you.
Well, you see, Gail, you're going to be able to hear people across the nation, and they go, that's what I love about God.
You keep reminding me of that now.
You know, I want you to get relaxed. People come from, they get all over the world, they come on the line. And see, I don't use it because I don't learn it, but they know each other. And that's what they said, and she said, from Atlanta. And I said, I want you, you got some people from Atlanta, you got some people from Kentucky, you got some people from South Carolina, got some people from California. Well, come on the line and be thankful.
Glory to God.
That's
glory
awesome.
To God.
What an awesome ministry you have.
I receive it. It belongs to God. It belongs to God.
Amen.
It belongs to God. Because all I can tell you, Gail, is I'm asking God who you want. And I just continue to pray and believe God, and God is building it up. But it's a step by step. Because
yeah.
That was one time I didn't have anybody but just me talking. And I said, this is nonsense. But God will let me know. But God let me know, he said, I'm building you up. I'm getting you ready. And so now God is, he's still getting me ready for a great height. And here you come that day on that, she comes on, she was on a Thursday night program. It got my heart, and a lady that was listening also says, I don't know where that woman come from, but I want a copy of that. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I couldn't find your phone number. Didn't know. I went back and called a person. I called Carnitia, I need Gail's number. She said, okay, she sent it to me. I called and spoke to you. And then I said, Lord, I said, I believe it's going to be a good season with her to do what you called her to do. There's a lot of people want to hear what you got to say.
Yes.
And we're going to see if we can't get it so orchestrated that somebody will say, okay, we want to put something to make sure that these are put on the whole wide. And see, I will don't put it on KSK radio, the media, where that you have these, they can download them. And we're going to get it fixed. If you stay with us, we're going to stay with you. Because I'm like this, I'm an old country boy. You ain't got enough rope to hold me.
Well, I was raised in the country myself, so I think maybe that's why my rhymes come out so simple, I guess.
That's good.
That's good. But I can kind of tell you was kind of in a position to just say, okay, I just got in. I said, okay, but God, and tonight God's going to give you a great input tonight so that he's going to let you know. He loves you already, but he has a lot of work. You're going to touch him hard. Don't be surprised if the President of the United States don't call you.
Amen. Don't be surprised.
I'm telling you, don't be surprised.
Done.
If one of the senators call you, God is dealing with their hearts.
That's right.
He's dealing with their hearts. You never know. Some preacher, some apostle, some teacher, some evangelist might call you and say, can you give me a copy of that? They want to frame it. See, I got some stuff folks have given me that says I am.
Yeah.
And I don't know that folks, it's what I got, it says I am. But I got that. And also I said, it's so much that can be done, but it's up to you. And we are here for you.
Yes.
See, you're a country girl, and I'm a country boy. You stay, Mama always said, when you go out there to get them eggs, make sure that the door is locked. because you go out there and then they'll keep the door open and all the hens get out. And that's where all the money is. So we just have to keep ourselves together. Does anybody else have anything else they want to say before we get out there? Anybody? Well, I want to thank God tonight for what God has said and done and what God has let Gail come on tonight. And it's a perfect timing. Not about us. It's about her. What God is doing through her. And Father, let there be nothing but this, Lord. Let there be continually peace. Peace that come from Yeshua. Nothing but peace come from Yeshua. Let it be for her. Let that peace be upon her, through her, around her. In Yeshua's name we pray. I love y'all. Until the next time, God bless you. Amen.
God bless everyone.
God bless
you. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody. God bless you.